from our dusty cellars. I like small butts, but remember, I can lie. It's the final countdown. Woo. Speaking of big butts, is there any bigger than the one that comes after I'm not a racist? All right, you know. I'm Manus Cronin, joining us this week as always. His parent might not have had a favourite child, but one was worse. It's Jack Toner!
which one was it?
Who knows? Who bloody knows? He's not sure he'd buy a season ticket to the Goebbels Museum, but he would go down and have a proper gander. It's Gavin Carberry!
Propaganda.
Sorry, yeah. It's slow on the uptake. Very good.
Yeah, yeah. You sure are. That's all. James isn't here this week, although his thing was something along the lines of rugby is elitist, not like football, which is populated entirely by down-to-earth ordinary Joes on normal salaries. It's James Belfast or something like that. We're together in the same room.
I know. The first time in ages.
It's been 21 months.
It's literally been whenever the government decided to implement their fake pandemic plan.
Yeah.
When Mick
and Marty got on the blower and said, I need these fucking guys out of my house. Take drastic measures.
Leo, do whatever you have to do.
Jesus fucking Christ, Leo. I didn't think I'd actually fucking do that.
So it drives me into there like, Jack, you need your own house.
Get
the fuck out.
Yeah, I meant like kill them or something.
Not something that'll impact me.
Yeah. On the agenda this week, Arnie Pie with Arnie in the Sky. The Lovember Internationals.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, I like that.
And as well, also, that is it. Oh, as well, the Dirty 30. And we'll come. That might be the only one we actually get to.
But the other ones have been said out loud, and we've gotten half the value out of that.
We've gotten
alone.
Half the value out of them, and of course we'll be talking to all those drag acts later on in the show. Various other things that we've promised to do. And the next Alcohol of Fame is in the pipeline. We are getting ready.
Don't worry.
Is no one taking minutes?
We could really like do two birds of one stone and do Panty's Lager.
Oh yeah.
As like the Panty Pale Ale. As an Alcohol of Fame. Get all of our favourite drag queens in. Talk about it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know any drag queens except Lily Savage, so that's all I'll be getting in. I won't be settling for it. Cause
Lily Savage is such an old school reference.
I know, but this is the thing. It's like the least tolerant people in the world love drag. It's weird. It's like
what?
Like, if you think about like your Onslow from Keeping Up Appearances types, right?
Yes,
who's gonna fucking love Lily Savage.
Yeah. Dame Enda Ulrich has like a massive following of bigots in Australia.
Yeah, like the people who
like Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Mrs. Brown's Boys, where it's like the funniest thing in the world is a man wearing women's clothes. But that's a point for another day. Where from people who would know more about it than we do, which isn't very many.
We will find all three of them.
We know the most, and we're the smartest and the most good looking. It's definitely true.
Very handsome point, Manus.
Very handsome point indeed, sirs. But before we do any of that, it's time to get introduced to these beers. Fucking, we have the same beer.
What the hell is happening?
We went to a shop and bought one that we thought we hadn't got before, so we could all drink the same beer.
Look at the
guys. This.
At the risk of saying that this was ever true, remember when this show used to be good? Or at least we cared.
Episode 3 through 9 was top for it.
3 through 9, and then it took a real downhill turn.
Yeah.
So, what do we have?
Jack, you brought it.
Oh, it's a Yellow Belly. So we literally went into the old Eurospar nearby and got the one we think we haven't had before. It's the Yellow Belly Dark Red Ale called Red Noir. The classic, fabulous artwork on the front. It is 4.5%.
It is a dark red ale, which... Reds, I've got an old hard enough time on this old program.
They have. I think the best performing red among us has been Smilex. Which says a lot.
I will say the darker the red does leave me a little bit more positivity.
Yeah. Have you had a first taste?
No.
Go for it.
So they've gone with the French word for black, but the English word for red, which I like. It's like Agincourt. I figured someone would think that was funny. It's not actually funny or in any way accurate about anything.
I don't even know the word.
A lot of times if you reference like a historical thing and like people don't want to seem like they don't know, they'll be like,
yeah, I was very tempted. That's normally my MO, but I really didn't know that one.
Me and Gav are so willfully ignorant. We're like, nah, bro.
No, you're right. You're
that
right.
Ain't me.
And the James would have known about it, but then he would have known enough about it to know that the thing I said didn't make any sense. So.
You're playing a dangerous game about our ignorance here.
Just a tightrope. This smells pretty nice.
It is nice. It's kind of like a toasty, roasty kind of flavor. I'm digging it.
It's, whew. Yeah, I think this is delicious. Mm. I really do. I mean, it's a red ale, probably in color alone.
In color and name only.
Yeah, it's something else.
It's almost a brown.
It's almost a brown, and it's delicious. And it's all the better for it, I think.
Mm-hmm. While reds have done historically terrible on this show, browns have really punched. They're probably the highest stylistic punchers that we've had.
Yeah, it's malty and biscuity,
yeah.
And like thicker. But
I just
want to
dunk a fucking digestive in it.
You kinda.
I could trot a little biscotti across the top of this.
Yeah.
This in a cocktail?
Oh. Yes, please.
No, I like this.
Yeah. Yellow Belly, you've done a great job. I don't think we've had that many Yellow Bellies recently. Because generally I think like they tend to perform pretty well and they're sound lads, so we give them high scores. But other than them being sound lads, I think this might get a high score for me because it's a genuinely nice beer.
This is really nice. If it wasn't called Red Noir and a dark red ale, I would swear up and down it was a brown.
Yeah.
I think it is, and that's nearly the category I'm kind of judging it against, and this is... Like, remember, one of my favorite brands is the Rye River one, the Toothless Dex Brown Ale.
Oh, yeah.
This is giving me the same, the same kind of earthy stuff. There was another, St. Mel's have a good one.
Oh, St. Mel's do, yeah.
Is
there the Macadamia Nut Brown
No,
Ale?
That's Lochgill. That's McNutty, also very nice.
Yeah.
St. Mel's unfortunately abbreviates the smells very easily.
It does.
And of course Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells, which is also true as well, you know. This year, how about we jingle all the way? No, this is really good.
Loving the beer. Love being in the same room as the boys. What we got?
God, what is it, 2019?
Getting tuned up on Red Noir. I fucking love it. It's the boys.
Red Noir also does sound like a character from The Boys.
Red Noir.
So I think we're pretty aligned across the board here.
What's your superpower, Red Noir? My nipples go in. It's not a great one, to be honest. I don't see you as in the 7, but perhaps...
In the 50.
Who is this?
Who is it? Yeah. I haven't seen The Boys, and I can tell you for a fact, no character in The Boys.
I've been watching a lot of Big Mouth. It's any character in Big Mouth.
True, yes.
It's the problem with The Boys and Gutfeld. And I've heard accusations that what we're trying to do is to normalize people watching Gutfeld. But I did. I watched a little bit of Gutfeld. And let me tell you, he's very bad.
Who's Gutfeld?
Gutfeld. He's the Fox News guy.
Garfield.
No, Gutfeld. I was watching it and going like, I'd have done that if you paid me and I'd have been better than him. And that shouldn't be true. There should be better people than him. Like, anyway, he's a little dweeb and he's not very funny. And I'm not jealous of his position in Fox News at all. You know, that's...
But he does good work, right?
Yeah, obviously everything he says is right. Obviously is the other thing. No. And as well, The Boys and all of that. speaking of jokes I never got, Arnie Pie, right?
Arnie Pie, Eye in the Sky.
This year, which is to say 2 or 3 weeks ago when I wrote it on the agenda, I was like, oh, because they should have called it Pie in the Sky. That's why Arnie in the Sky is funny.
Again, today years old.
Arnie in the Sky.
The Simpsons just like have so many jokes that they can afford for you to not get a few.
Yeah,
they just
if you don't get it, who cares? Because I came up with it when I was like, came up with it, noticed it when I was about to appreciate a period in The Simpsons where they made the choice to have like Arnie get irrationally annoyed at Kent, and yeah. I was like, okay, this so that's a funny choice. Now they eventually fucked the dog on it because that's what they started to do in The Simpsons. And while I was in the middle of it, I was like, Arnie and Skye. Yeah, you're right. That would be funnier. Why don't they just make a pie in this guy? Oh, that's the fucking joke. Galaxy brain, man. Well fucking done. Like, and you're right. They didn't care that I didn't get that. They're like, there'll be another joke along in a few minutes. It's like getting the train in Salzburg.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be another
one. Yeah, we all
get the ref.
The efficient Austrian train system.
Yeah.
There's always there'll be another one along soon. Who cares if we miss it?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Austria. Good guess. I mean, Austria. I would have said Japan.
Japan. Probably, yeah. I mean, that would be probably more true.
Yeah. Is there anything else like that you, like, didn't... Specifically from The Simpsons. I feel like the stuff that I just really didn't appreciate. Like, the density of...
There's a lot, but I can't think of it.
My favourite one of those, it's not a Simpsons joke, it's from The Animaniacs. Which, going back and watching as an adult, was an absolute delight. Because there's one episode where they're solving a murder on a cruise ship. And the big brother, Yakko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yakko, Wakko, and Dot.
Yeah. And the Wonder Sister Dot. they're trying to solve this murder, or this crime of some description. And he's like, all right, Wakko, I want you to interview the passengers. And Dot, fingerprints. And then a couple of seconds later, it pans over and Dot is just holding this flamboyant character who I now know to be the artist Prince. Formerly known as Prince, with a big grin on her face. And she's like, yeah. And then he's like, no, for the crime. Aww. And then throws him overboard. And I was like, God, me as a kid didn't even know that was a joke.
Yeah,
and now I'm like, this little girl is about to finger this musician. And that is just quality.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You wouldn't get it because they're like specifically pitched at a level that like kids can be quite reliable to where it's like they won't get that. It's like object permanency or something where it's like a stage in development, you know, where you can like, okay, he thinks I disappeared. Or
it's Seaman Stains and Roger the Cabin Boy. You can put those in a children's show because they don't know that's a joke.
They're incapable of getting it. It's safe enough. Well, like with that Simpsons one, I was like, there's no reason why I shouldn't have ever got that.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Yeah, there's probably a bunch of them. I mean, but there's probably still loads I don't know that I wasn't getting. I mean, there's always going to be American stuff where it's like, well, that's just an American
culture.
I don't necessarily understand. But hey, you know, that's life. That's what people say. The Lovember Internationals, they only how much tremendous fun.
It's you know what, it's a real joy to be the best in the world again.
Oh yeah,
I mean, like,
never again.
And you know what, I don't care what we've said before, the World Cup doesn't matter because it's all about right here right now.
There is nothing better than being an Irish rugby fan 2 years away from any World Cup.
It's just amazing.
It's absolutely top of the fucking line.
You know what, I think strategically it's the move, because we're not going to fucking win the World Cup no matter what. Let's just be out of sync with the cycle to where we get to be really good 2 or 3 years out and enjoy the little victories
and ride the hype train. Just like, remember how good 1819 was?
Yeah.
That was fucking...
Oh, can you believe they gave Joe Smith Coach of the Year? But he was Coach of the Year in the year of 2018.
Yeah.
Johnny
yeah.
Sexton was the best player in the world in that year.
Yeah.
And no, him, like, them not doing well in the 2019 World Cup, all that means is that they didn't do well in that World Cup. They were the best team
at that moment.
You might think it was a good move, but whatever. You know. You don't think Italy would take it? They'd take it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If Italy could win,
Scotland would take it.
They'd take the shit out of it.
Yeah. If Italy could be really good at rugby in the 6 months between Six Nations, they'd be like, yeah, we'll beat Ireland. We'll beat Ireland in the summer.
Yeah. We'll go down and get a, you know, a test series draw against the All Blacks in the summer, and then get our arse handed to us in the Six Nations. They take it.
They take the shit out of it. And the TV coverage of this particular November International, named after the hero of the November Internationals, James Lowe. And I didn't check the internet to see if someone else had already made that joke, because they probably did, but I still want to take credit for it. The TV coverage was something to behold. I mean, you did get to hear Dane Coles call Johnny Sexton a mouthy cunt.
that was excellent.
When did you do that, sir?
He caught it on the ref mic. He's like, saying it to the ref. He's a mouthy cunt, isn't he?
I can't remember what his name was. Like, I can't remember the ref's name, but he's the biggest jock-sniffing dweeb in the entire world. careful. Like, he clearly just wants...
Luke Pearce, isn't
it? Yes, Luke Pearce. He clearly just wants to be friends with the players.
Yeah.
And he kept referring to the TMO as his mate. My mate says it's fine, so my mate's having a look at it now.
Right, mate. You see this, and then we don't need to talk anymore? Mate?
Yeah. The mate per minute ratio from Luke Pearce, the jock-sniffing dweeb...
Was quite high.
And, like, he made some of the silliest calls. He ended up basically being right, but making calls for very silly reasons. Like, at that one point when, I can't remember, I think it was TJ Parinara, but somebody on the New Zealand team had the ball and figured he knocked it on and just stopped. And everyone kind of stopped. Jameson Gibson-Park took the ball and proceeded to run off, and then he blows the whistle. And he's like, okay, no, everyone stopped. I thought it was a knock-on.
So did all of you.
It so wasn't. We're just going to, for a rugby decision, for fairness, we're going to give the scrum to New Zealand because there was no knock-on. Which, like, fair enough, that probably is what should happen. Yeah, but, like, his logic was, he couldn't, like, admit that, like, oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, I was fooled too, and I was wrong. He was like, no. Everyone stopped.
All of you fools thought that it was a knock-on.
I knew it wasn't. And then
that honestly infuriated me, because I was like, if your logic is nothing went wrong and everybody stopped playing and nobody blew a whistle, and then the All Blacks put the ball on the floor and Jameson Gibson-Park picked it up and ran it in.
He also did blow the whistle. And the way we knew that was because of this new technology that RTE have been using recently of replays that they show, and they show them instantly. They're instant replays.
And you could. Do we don't have to wait for the film to develop?
I need to be paying my TV license again. I mean, they really are knocking it out of the park
again.
Now, I was too in the height of it to actually watch the halftime analysis, so we may have missed some Jamie Heaslip gold.
Oh, you might have.
The most fun about having the Jamie Heaslip coverage is the visible disdain between him and Eddie O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Just not a drop of respect.
And you know what? It's actually really, really refreshing to see that neither of them deserve respect. I will admit that, like, they both deserve respect for the careers before this, but they are the worst pundits ever been.
They are terrible. And if you're Stephen Ferris or Jerry Flannery, you were sitting there going, I look fucking great.
Jerry
Flannery in his jumper.
Needs to wear a jumper now. Jerry Flannery is looking lean. Jerry Flannery was like, I have to be fat for my position when I'm playing, and now I don't.
The Leo Cullen approach.
Yeah, that's right. What was it? Was Leo Cullen ever overly beefy?
He was beefy. Like, he was a second row, so he had, but he really lost the weight as soon as he retired. He's stick thin now.
I think Gronk, to switch up sports momentarily, was the best example of that he deflated after the NFL, because obviously no one in the NFL is on steroids. That's why zero of the 1,000 people who play in that league get caught every year.
And Kronk from Emperor's New Groove.
He unfortunately is on steroids.
He's on steroids.
Like, look at his bicep. Look at his, like, shoulder to waist ratio.
Real tragedy is that Patrick Warburton has to keep taking the steroids to maintain the voice depth.
That is sad. It is sad.
But look, and he set the bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you keep failing steroid tests. Why are these guys failing their steroid tests?
That's my Patrick Warburton.
That's very good. I fear that it's going to be far too quiet for this podcast. It's just going to be a whisper. Turn up the volume and then have me just come in with a ha-ha and blow some listeners' eardrums out.
Hey, Peter, I'm on Family Guy now.
Family Guy Warburton is the easier version of it, because he's kind of turned himself. He's doing an impression of himself.
Yeah. Peter,
Yeah, it kind of worked. Is that true that the people are not failing drug tests in the NFL at all? They're just, are they just testing them on game day? Like, is it like
almost never hear about it? It never happens.
Are they like athletic commission tests? Because that used to be the case in UFC where the testing was an intelligence test because you could only get tested the week of the fight. So like, oh, I'll just
get off 2 weeks before the fight.
Yeah, so
the only people who used to fail were the dumbest dummies. And like, Tito Ortiz kept failing, but like, you know, fair enough.
I don't know their testing system, but almost it never really happens mid-season. That's maybe they're probably not tested in the off-season.
Do they do like WWE and like every now and again just go, go, we gotta give him someone. Who's shit? Who do we
Who
do we pop? You know?
I actually think no, they don't even.
They don't even. They're like, we're the NFL. Like,
yeah, we can do whatever the fuck we want. And we're not going to do this.
Yeah, it's a closed shop. We own everything. And we don't need to be beholden to any sort of industry body because we are the industry.
Do you know what they
do? Us billionaires.
They'll give up a guy every now and again because like there was a lot of email leaks. So yeah. Like, yeah, you can have a fucking guy who sent a bad email 12 years ago. I mean, 12 years ago, you were allowed to hit your wife and stay in the league.
Mm.
But we're gonna give you this guy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I read some of those emails. They weren't good. Not a good look. But when you consider what they used to let people do, yeah. God bless the NFL and long may they continue.
Long may they continue.
They and Major League Baseball actually both have a thing that the Premier League football would kill for, any other sport would kill for. Because when I want a result of a match or some info from something, I go to NFL.com or MLB.com.
Yeah.
Because their websites are good. They're the best place for... You would never be like, wonder what happened in the Premiership. Better click on PremierLeague.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Does Premier League... I'm sure it exists, but
oh, it
like,
does, yeah. You don't go
what
the,
sort of traffic are we looking at?
Go on the UEFA website to get Champions League scores. Or
you know, I imagine you also never... There's no, like, Premier League TV, is there? Like, they don't own any of their own media.
No, they just license it out. Yeah.
Mm, so there you go. Pussies.
Yeah, that was their first. That was their first mistake.
Yeah,
it was. Dirty 30.
Yeah, man.
How you feeling about it?
As a 30-year-old man, I feel that's probably the first time I've said that.
You've been previously
a 29-year-old man.
A 29-year-old boy.
You did 365 straight days at that age, didn't you?
I did. Good streak.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's my second longest streak at any age.
Wow.
Joint second. Yeah. Behind a lot of joint firsts, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
How do I feel about it? I feel about a week older than I felt last week. But I do... I have noticed that people who have turned 30 will give you a lot of conflicting advice about what it means and what changes will be thrust upon you, mostly relating to hangovers.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel that that happens basically at every age. And I think the thing that we're not willing to talk about is just your body is slowly dying from the age of 21.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And we're just going to have to fucking deal with that.
Not that slowly in some cases.
Yeah.
I had that motherfucker on the inside track for a good 10 years. Fucking lapping people.
On your left.
I
have a theory that it is not... There is no magic... crossing the line at 30 that makes you less able for a night out or more tired all the time. I think it's actually that's the age when people or staring down the barrel of that age, people settle down, which results in them doing less shit that makes them able to handle it.
Yeah, for sure.
My tolerance is probably as high as it is. My tolerance is probably higher than your average 30-year-old because I didn't bitch out of the lifestyle.
You're perfect now, and you're going to get more perfect as it goes.
You're a wild horse.
And you cannot be tamed.
Are there people out there trying to tame me? Good luck.
Many have tried.
Enjoy wasting your time. I'll be out here on these plains for years to come.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Bruce Springsteen
song. Hopefully not.
You.
But I fear I'll be out here on these plains for years to come.
Yeah. It'll work.
And the planes are great.
The planes are
fine. It will take years to come.
You know. Well, hey, that's the benefit of aging. You get to come less frequently and less readily, which is, it's a big move, you know. I can go for almost a minute and a half now without coming. It's great.
Wow.
Yeah, real improvement.
You've managed to last 20 minutes of this podcast without coming.
That's what you think.
These
are black trousers and that is not a mistake. Me and Jack were talking about this pre-show where people like tell you, no, the best years of your life are in your 30s. And we both agreed that those people were clearly dweebs in school.
Yes. Yeah.
So what kind of college experience did you have that you think this is better?
Yeah. Are my best years behind me? Probably yes. But were my best years fucking deadly? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. My best years really set me up for some good years now.
You're talking to one of them and you're like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize. Because I'm a legend, I assumed you were too. Like, well, you peaked in secondary school. Yeah. And it was fucking Mount Everest.
Yeah.
You
peaked in KPMG.
Absolute snorkeler. Like, what? Well, so it's really good, you know, I finally have a bit of money. When you're a legend, you don't need money. You just need the two B's. Bitches and big arms.
Never at the same time.
No,
never at the same time.
Never the train shall meet.
Never at the same time.
Never the train shall meet. It's true. Well, the 30s, yeah, it's really good. You get settled into things. You know, you really start to know who you are for yourself. Oh, yeah.
I know.
You got picked on, I can tell. Yeah, you dweeb.
I knew who I was. Yeah. A fucking alpha.
This turned into the Jockcast so gradually.
No, it didn't. We were like, all right, you know who James Lowe was playing under his skin all month?
God, thank God, I'm finally on the Jockcast. I always wanted.
Yeah. Well, see, there's always room for a jock sniffer.
The Theatre Queen cast.
No, we're going to get those queens in. We're going to get those queens in.
We're
going to
get some. But, we did lots of theatre stuff. We were fucking jocks in theatre, too.
Yeah.
Which is to say we were toxic and now no one will work with us anymore. But still, we bullied the shit out of those theatre nerds. I remember the first time I came into like the Players Theatre, I was like, oh, I know what this is. I can dominate all of you.
And then you just beat up Tim, the biggest one.
I was like, oh, I guess you can just do whatever you like now. Yeah, I fucking can.
Why does Manus not simply eat all the other techs? Oh, he tries.
Yeah.
They're grisly and unpleasant. Salty even.
I'm gonna put it to the room as two men who have been thrust into their 30s.
Yeah.
Look, lay the advice out there, fellas.
Here's the advice, and it's the only piece of advice I'm going to give you. Have a 30th.
Yes.
Because there's been 2 years now where people have been like either having like, you know, subdued 30ths based on kind of COVID restrictions and stuff like that, and there's people who've been saying, oh, well, I'll have one when I, you know, when everything kind of calms down. That's never going to happen unless you make it happen.
Yeah.
Have a 30th, have a fucking rager, get all your mates together and like,
yeah,
realize how popular and legendary you are.
Yeah,
it's
you're going to need
fun.
To hire a pretty big room to fit all those friends in.
And the problem was that because the restrictions didn't lift, I wasn't able to get that room, which is why I am holding off and doing it when I can do something big. So I'm not just going to bitch out of it.
Yeah.
But I am saying that out loud as much as possible so I can. So I'm trying to avoid me plan wasn't.
That's what your plan wasing is all the time.
No,
that's all you do.
I'm trying to get ahead of it. I'm trying to be more accountable.
That's a good resolution for your 30th. Be more accountable, and the first thing you need to do is have a 30th, whenever that may be.
I'm aiming for the summer because I feel like I'm going to try and do Trinity Brawl 3 as a part of it. Make it a weekend event.
Yeah, I just want to make it so that you have to come to a thing that like is an event that like, you know, I just want
to
make it.
You
so
can come
so
to one.
I would
or
be.
The other
I would
both.
Be way up for going to Trinity Brawl 3, and I think you do have enough friends that can fill a venue without filler neckbeard virgin.
I, yeah, that's the
because,
thing.
Because, like, I love your wrestling. do I want to go to a party with the wrestling crowd? I don't know.
Look, wrestling fans are the best and worst thing about wrestling.
Yeah.
We do it all for them. Unfortunately, it is them that we're doing it for.
Unfortunately, you know,
it's
yes,
a very,
yes.
It's a tough
some
situation.
Of them aren't virgins, you know. I'm sure some of them have paid for sex along the way. Left a trail of former prostitutes behind them. Because you, once you've done that once, you're like, oh, maybe this isn't for
yeah,
me.
Maybe
I'm going to go get my GED.
Maybe I'll just fucking stop doing this because it's not worth it, you know. But,
or they're getting paid, they get charged the absolute top rate. And it's like, God, if only I could just
what's
do that.
What's the top rate
time.
For Smegma? I mean, have you ever smelled the first three rows of a wrestling crowd? I know you have. I don't know how desperate you'd have to be, but let me tell you something, brother. That's what Hogan was talking about. Yeah, I'm with Gavin on the have a 30th. I didn't have a 30th, and I tried to explain this to people before, and almost anyone I ever explained it to thought I was saying I couldn't afford it, and that's why I was making this point. But my point was, you cannot have a 30th when you're on the dole. And my reasoning was, you can't have a look at me, I've been here for 30 years, here I am. What do you do? Nothing.
Yeah,
you can.
You want to crystallize a high.
You
point.
Can.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's your feeling, yeah.
I was like, I can't. You can't be like, because what? The only achievement is that you're around for a while. It's like my life was nowhere when I was 30.
Most people don't die before 30, so getting there on its own is just happening.
There was something to me making 30. I will say that there was.
That's why I was going. It's like you are an exception to that.
There was a little while there when it wasn't so cut and dry that was what was gonna go down. But
do you feel like you're at a point now where, let's say, you were turning 30 now?
Yeah, I could have a party now.
What's stopping you?
I'm 34 now. And I also lied to people and said I was 2 years younger than I was for like 2 years. So I'm not willing to have an official fucking...
And you know who was the most suckered by that? This motherfucker.
I assumed you all knew.
How could we?
I knew that when you finally said you were 30, you were actually 32. Yeah. But that was after the fucking fact.
Yeah, I had to wait till I like had a job and like a girlfriend and a life.
I was like, Mattis has been 28 for ages. Yeah. No. I'm wrong.
I'm pretty sure Mattis is older than me, and I'm 30.
No, I wasn't willing. I wasn't willing to be 30 with where my life was at that time.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Fuck this. Plus, I did secretly think that at some point they would put me on one of those 30 under 30 lists if I just stayed under 30 for a while.
This man has achieved a lot for an under 30. He has, for example, got osteoporosis,
which is remarkable, you know?
Very rare for somebody under 30.
Low testosterone. He has a lot of the old people things, actually. Low testosterone.
I wonder, is he Benjamin Buttoning in some way?
He's buttoning. He's Benjamining. It's true. Yeah, that was life. And that's it now. So yeah, have a 30th.
Okay, I'm going to have a 30th. It's gonna be big.
It's gonna be lit.
It's gonna be litsy. Any words of warning? What not to do?
Don't get fat.
Yeah.
I got fat. It's a pain in the arse to come back from, so don't get fat. Easiest thing to do is just not get fat in the first place.
It is, yeah, it is easier to stay in shape than it is to get in shape.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Gav? As a proud fat man,
yeah, I'm kind of on my way. Well, I'm not on my way to fat, but like,
you look alright.
That was a joke. That was funny because it's
I'm looking alright, but I'm carrying maybe a bit more than I need to.
I didn't say don't get unhealthy. I said don't get fat.
Yeah. Because the ship has sailed on that first one, mate. Yeah, what other advice? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you've got your shit pretty much together.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
You're a homeowner.
I'm not far enough older than you. In fact, I'm actually 2 years younger than you. I'm still 28.
Yes.
I'm bewitching this whole thing.
God, Matt's got into college crazy young. He must be super smart.
Like Doogie Howser. A bit of advice that was given to me was to start taking up habits that you can do when you're 80. So like, you know, look around at what some 80-year-old guys are doing and see can you still do
like get crazy into bowls.
Whatever. Yeah. It doesn't have to be bowls, but like you can, like Helio Gracie was still doing jiu-jitsu when he was 90. You know, there's some stuff that's reasonably low impact on your joints that like would be quite hard to take up when you're 80, but if you've been doing it forever, you can just keep doing it.
Yeah. It's a roundabout way to say stop wrestling, but I hear you.
Stop wrestling, start playing chess.
Start playing chess. You do see old guys running. You do see old guys doing some stuff. And then there's some stuff that's like,
You don't see a lot of like 90-year-olds who are still boxing.
Yeah.
You see a bunch of guys with the brains of 90-year-olds who are still boxing. Oh, they call him Puddin' Joe because they were always putting fists in his face, and now his brain is puddin'. They'll be putting him in a nursing home pretty soon.
What'll he eat there?
Puddin'.
You know, so just don't take up boxing. Don't Mickey Rourke your life.
No, not going to do that.
Are you a leading man with gorgeous good looks and the sky's the limit? I sure am. Why not take up professional boxing? Sounds like a good idea to me. I'll have a career resurgence, right? Yeah, playing a particular type of person.
Yeah.
Literally playing a wrestler. It's the one thing worse than a boxer.
Basically playing yourself. Somebody who's just fucked his body.
Springsteen will write a song about you, but Springsteen will write a song about you. They ain't normally good. Ever listen to Born in the USA? That's not about a happy guy. First kick I took was when I hit the ground. Oh, wow. It sounds fun.
It does, yeah. He's really fucking killer riffs on that, but yeah. Unfortunately, I think the lyrics belie a certain sadness.
You're really putting a lot of socks behind that tragedy.
Yeah.
I don't think he specifically wrote the song about Mickey Rourke, but he did get nominated for the Oscar for the song in the movie The Rest. I mean, we're not just completely inventing this.
Did he?
So, Springsteen did?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Huh. That's not the Oscar you remember from that movie.
Well, you remember the one that Mickey Rourke didn't fucking get.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who should have got Oscars, like, looking back now, the only reason that Trey Parker and Matt Stone didn't EGOT is because they didn't get the Oscar for Blame Canada.
But yeah, like, with Phil Collins won.
I mean, they got their revenge on Phil Collins in their episode.
Yeah.
But I think the time is not over for the South Park boys.
But I mean, it was one that was absolutely left on the table. Like, they should have got it. Like, it was the best song in the movie that year. Actually, frankly, Uncle Fucker was the best song in the movie that year. But you couldn't very well have that at the Oscars.
At that point, I'm surprised that like La Resistance Lives On didn't win, because I'm like, that's just a good musical number.
Yeah. It's a bit of a pastiche, though.
It is just a piss taking limits.
Whereas Blame Canada is
true
original, as is Uncle Fucker.
Yeah.
Uncle Fucker. and hey, that's life, you know. That's what people say. You were riding high in April and still riding pretty high in May, because we're white and Western and everything's fine for us.
Pretty much every month of the year.
Yeah, to 3 decades of life being an uninterrupted boulevard of green lights.
Yeah.
And speaking as those who would in 485 in Rome, it always will be. Nothing could go wrong.
Well, you know, it wasn't really a dark age. You know, really things were just different.
Yeah, and worse. They were worse. Yeah. The Roman Empire was a net positive for the people in the Roman Empire. Granted, if you lived next to it, it was a bit of a fucking disaster. But if you were in it and then it wasn't there anymore, it was a fucking dark age.
Yeah. Well, you know that running water? Yeah, running water we used to have. You used to come into the house there via the aqueduct there that the emperor, you know, he put in. That's gone. But I wouldn't call it a dark age as much as I'd call it a kind of a... Yeah, it's a change, you know? It's a different kind of age. Everything's basically the same. Yeah. I gotta wipe my ass with a hedgehog. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's not a normal... Norman Channel talk would be funnier, but that's...
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's gonna take it home. One of these lines is gonna be a killer.
Get ready. Softball pitch. Let's just hit that homer, baby.
Nah. There's nothing funny about the fall of any empire except for the Portuguese Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Little bitter man.
Little bitter man.
The Portuguese Empire doesn't have a massive, like, I don't know. Like, the sun never set on the British Empire. Mm. The sun set on the Portuguese Empire fairly quickly. Because I think it was just Portugal and Angola. They just got into Africa, like, on the last day, and were like, oh, I'll take this place.
they had Brazil.
Oh, they did have Brazil, of course.
The Portuguese, as empire builders go, were much like the Dutch in that, like, they sort of just got into it early. Mm. Like, they weren't good at it.
Yeah.
They got really good. They weren't empire builders. They were ship builders. That translated pretty well, but not for very long.
Yeah.
Portuguese man with an empire is a lot like a mule with a spinning wheel. Nobody knows how he got it, and danged if he knows how to use it. The British, they had it down. They would mostly just convince you that really they should be in charge. Well, I mean, we are in charge, so shouldn't we be?
They were pretty good at convincing themselves that they should have been in charge as well. There's a lot of people who still think that the British Empire was on the whole a good thing.
I mean, it was pretty good on the whole.
Yeah, I mean, your hole got a good seeing too.
You got absolutely rimmed.
Oh, you guys have seen my massage gun? You're right. When you turn 30, your body really does need a little bit extra.
A little bit extra in the pooper.
In the booty.
It's like, no, it wasn't a good thing on the whole. But, like, I feel like we did it wrong. Where it was like, we were constantly fighting them. Where it's like, no, okay, look, they're going to win anyway for a while. Chill out. Let them build some fucking railways. Let them fucking put more universities here. Let them fucking... And then get a Gandhi who's just like, yep.
Yeah. And if we had gone through that strategy, we'd have a second Trinity as opposed to P-U-U-C-D. You know?
I've been in both and UCD's worse. I mean, I graduated from one and not the other, so that should tell you.
I don't think the college was the thing that changed.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. In UCD, you could kind of just ask. You'd be like, I don't have that essay now. Can I hand it later? And they'd be like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fine. You did ask, so fair. I went retroactively to a lecturer once, like after I'd handed in an essay late. And I was like, you know, if you give me that mark that I'm going to get, it's going to knock me down from like a 2-1 to like a 2-2. Can you just not? And she was like, yeah, all right.
I get paid the same.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fine. You can just have it.
Went home happy. More shaping young minds done today.
It's really going to affect my GPA if you accurately grade that paper. So could you just...
It's going to make you look bad as well, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, if they see what you did with the quality. I mean, look at this quality.
Look at the quality.
I mean, yeah, I do know that you did used to basically think I was here to... The amount of times I would forget I was wearing my uniform, my DPU uniform. I would walk into the lectures and everyone would go like... Is that me?
I did say deliver it to lecture hall too.
Yeah.
So you would get that a lot on the UCD delivery was the biggest shit show in the world. Yeah, because all the residences, there's like one place where you leave all the parcels and then they're supposed to come and collect them, but they never want to. So they'd like, yeah, they put in their address because they're fucking 18-year-olds from Carlow. They'd be like, I'm doing ag science, so what I think is that they'll deliver it to like Theatre L.
Yeah.
Get it on the thing. So yeah, they'd look around and go, oh, there's the red-faced old man who's here to deliver my protein powder. No, I'm one of you.
Yeah.
Just like the rest of you, except I'll be going back to the warehouse later. So I'm not changing. You know. But that's life.
That's what people say.
You're riding high in April and you are shot down in May. What do we think of this beer? I'm cracking into a Budweiser as we speak, which is made from 100% renewable electricity.
Oh, fantastic. I can finally drink Budweiser guilt-free.
The most electrifying beer on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, it is. In sports entertainment, at least.
Manus, you finished first. What do you think?
Every time I finish first, I think I had my fun and that's all that matters. Loved it. It. When I say I would have mistaken it for a good brown ale, that's a high compliment. It's a nine.
Very nice, Jack.
Yeah, it went down fucking fabulously. I'm going to join you at a nine.
And before either of you said this, and you have to believe me, listener, because that's double jeopardy.
Yeah, we don't lie.
I would have given it a nine as well.
Wow. A unanimous anything is rare. A unanimous nine, rarer still.
Yeah, which is a total score of 27 and a final countdown score of 9. This is a good ass beer. Pick this shit up.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like you can take us more seriously because we haven't really talked to the Yellowbelly boys in what must be fucking years.
Yeah.
So all the good favor they ever had with us is long gone.
Oh yeah, they're eating bread. They're soon forgotten.
Yeah.
screw you, Danny Trapp. We don't listen to your podcast either.
But yeah, Red Noir, the dark red ale by Yellowbelly.
This has been around for a while, and I literally was put off by the fact that it's a red ale.
And also
it's not a red ale.
Yeah. Its design is kind of steampunky, which, of all the Yellowbelly ones, wouldn't be my favourite design. No. But it's one of the nicest beers.
I would say it's...
I bet this... I don't know if they've ever done it, but this would be a beast on cask, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know enough about the difference. I haven't drank enough cask shit to know.
Well, cask shit is...
it's not great.
Oh, sorry, a bit sedimenty.
Yeah, a bit sedimenty, a bit corny. question. Why doesn't Ireland have more cask? Pubs?
I think it was maybe some of the bathwater that got thrown out with the baby of the British Empire, or the other way around. No, I don't know. I have no idea why that is. Guinness stopped doing cask-conditioned beer in, the 50s.
Right.
I think, and they took over.
Yeah.
I think that has to be it.
It's just Guinness decided that it's more profitable for them to do it as they do.
Well, they consolidated so much that almost any trend I can think of within Irish beer culture is a function of them basically deciding to do things one way. I don't know. Did we used to import a lot of it from the UK?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a very UK thing.
This and who we've never had on, and I don't intend to because he's clearly a nerd, but I do read his blog, the Beer Food Travel guy on Twitter.
Oh.
He knows all that stuff. He posts it. We've met him. He's nice. I'm teasing him because it's fun to do. But, he'll, have, historic, lists of beers that were available, and, he has a personal grudge against Smithwick's, which I would too if I was in his job, because they're even worse than Guinness.
For their lies.
The absolute just lies. So, Liam Beerfield Travel versus Smithwick's is one of my favourite one-sided rivalries. Because they don't care.
Yeah, he exists.
If we were in any way a serious beer podcast, we would be contacting him and having him on to talk about such things.
But here we are.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Let's have Dave Guilfoyle on again.
To not say anything.
He was lively the last time we had him on.
He was more lively.
So that's what people say. Well,
I guess there's only one thing to cheers to.
To life.
And what people say.
That can give such an unsatisfying clink.
And cut! Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.